Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to the Fantasy Feud Podcast, where we debate the hottest dynasty fantasy football topics every week. So sit back, pick a side, and let's talk some dynasty debates because it's in our DNA. And here is your Fantasy Feud host and moderator, Jimmy Ledbetter.
Welcome back, DNA Strand crew, to another episode of Fantasy Feud, Dynasty DNA's own debate show. Jimmy's out today, so I'll be filling in for him. You all know me, TJ Blake, the host of the Dynasty DNA Fantasy Football Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at FFTJBlakeDNA. And as for always for Fantasy Feud, I'm joined to my left by Ty Blake. You can find him on Twitter at DynastyDNA. Ty, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How's it going?
We're doing good. And next up, we got Muscles Ryan Mail. You can find him on Twitter at DynastyDNA. Mus, M-U-S.
M-U-S.
How you doing this morning, Mus? How are you feeling post-draft here? What did you think of this draft?
Yeah, it was, fairly wild, fairly, like Ty was saying pre-show, fairly disappointing, too. Yeah. I mean, there was a few shockers. There was also just no veteran moves that we were really looking forward to, like where Cortland Sutton was going to go, where Brandon Ayuk was going to go.
T. Higgins,
the big Justin Herbert rumored trade. Like, there was just no fireworks as far as veteran players. But
not a lot of teams coming up or trading down either in the first round.
No, because there was supposed to be all this trading and everything. Like, the over-under was 6.5, and I don't know what we had.
It was like 2 or 3, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, one day removed from post-NFL draft, we thought, hey, let's hop in. What better thing to do than a rookie mock draft? I mean, we know a lot of rookie drafts are coming up this week for a lot of people. So, try to see how we feel about some of these guys as we go over them. We're definitely doing 2 rounds. We might just do 3, depending on if we have enough time. So, yeah. We'll see what happens. But we're going to hop in and get into that here in a minute. But just going back to the draft for a minute, I want to talk about some teams and maybe some people that were winners and losers real fast. I mean, I think personally for me, I really like what the Chargers did. Yeah. I really, really liked what the Patriots did. I know Ty is really happy with the Patriots.
Yeah, what a complete turnaround for them. I mean, to me, I mean, as the days passed, I think they got possibly the best quarterback in the class. I do. I'm starting to kind of slip my hope here for Caleb Williams. I don't know, just kind of the way the guy acts sometimes, I'm getting kind of nervous, but for me, Drake May is a for sure thing. You can just take a look at that guy and be like, yeah, he's an NFL quarterback. He has the look. He just has the charisma. I really like Drake May. So, home run, and then, of course, they go out and get Javon Baker, and then they go and get Jalen Polk. So,
yeah,
great for the Patriots, and nice start for Jerry Mayo, too.
Definitely. I know we have some Patriots fans that listen, and I know Preston especially, big Patriots fan. I'm sure he's happy as happy can be right now. And our Steelers did a nice job, too. Maybe not so much in fantasy relevance, I think this will help maybe our offense be even a little better.
Yeah, it wasn't flashy, but you could tell what they want to do.
Yeah. They're going to – I mean, and Najee is a guy to target this year, man. They're going to be running the ball like crazy. I mean, I know Jalen Warren will cut in a little bit, but I just think they're going to play smash-mouth football, and Najee Harris can be the face of that. So
I think the Cardinals did well, too. I mean, we get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big, big plus for them. And I'm excited to see some of these guys. Like you said, Ty, some of these landing spots come up shallow, a little bit short. But at the same time, there has been a couple good ones, especially for maybe some of these higher-end guys.
Yeah, just disappointing for, like, especially for, like, a talent like Malik Nabers. I mean, that's disappointing. Hopefully Daniel Jones surprises to come out and sling the football. I don't think we're all holding our breath there, but hopefully that he can get the football to Nabers because, I mean, he's a heck of a talent but horrible landing spot.
With his yak ability, I mean, I think we kind of talked about this, but I think he's kind of quarterback-proof. I mean, you saw what DJ Moore was able to do with Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't played a snap, though, yet, so we'll see.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think he's a bust by any means, but we'll see. I mean, because DJ Moore has been used to it. He's played with it his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, you can prove that you play with bad quarterback play. I mean, that's one thing for sure. But before we're not going to keep spoiling this because we're going to hop in. We're going to do our mock draft here, and we're going to do a super flex, just a regular super flex PPR-type format because luckily enough for us, tight ends weren't real significant outside of Brock Bowers in this draft. So,
yep.
We're going to start it off here with Moss. Moss, you got the 101. I'm almost sure what you're going to do with it, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take Caleb Williams. You know, not really a whole lot to talk about. I mean, he should be everybody's slam dunk 101, I would think, other than trying to trade out of it. So
there isn't a lot to talk about, but let's talk about expectations, right? Like, I mean, we all knew this was coming. We all knew he's going to this offense, and I give Ryan Poles credit as far as bringing in pieces to make this offense should be pretty formidable.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you guys, I mean, like, realistically right now, I want to ask you both, like, what do you expect out of Caleb Williams year one?
Do you think top 10, Ty?
He's going to have to, because the problem is Stroud did it last year with way less.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I agree.
So he's going to get a lot of slander if he can't.
Especially because he's kind of talking that shit.
He's got a lot of weight on his shoulders, man. I mean,
and he's bringing it on himself. It's not.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Texting the punter saying, dude, you ain't going to have to punt much.
Yeah. Like, remember Trevor Lawrence? Like, we talked about this. Like, you never heard anything about Trevor Lawrence. Like, it was like he's a generational talent. Everybody's excited for him, but like, he didn't run his mouth. He just came in, and like you made a good point, Ty. It's like people give him slack because like he's not he's not outspoken.
Yeah,
you know, he just kind of comes to work, and
yeah, I mean that's what you want to see, and that's guys you cheer for, man.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, if you're like a Johnny Manziel that's like running your mouth and can't shut up, then like you kind of don't get a lot of slack.
And what scares me, too, is like how people treated Manziel in the league. And this guy is just acting up more Manziel. I didn't think it was possible. So, I don't know. Honestly, personally, anymore, if I'm at the 1-1, I'm trading back.
Yeah.
I don't know. This isn't a for-sure thing for me anymore.
But it has to be the right trade. Because I still think even if you take him, like, you can get a good trade later on from someone, you know, down the road.
Oh, 100%.
But I think you just got to make sure it's the right move.
You have to make the right move, absolutely, because I don't think the guy's going to suck by any means, but it's going to be tough for him to live up to this much hype.
And I agree with you, like, about the Stroud stuff. Like, I mean, people are going to expect that. I mean, like you said, and you made a good point, he did it with way less.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, and you know the hype around this guy, and if you're picking 1-1, you think it's going to be the savior.
Right. Yep. Right. And I mean, like we said, look at Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was the new generational talent. He was all this and that. And I mean, I don't want to say he disappointed or he bust, but he definitely didn't live up to expectations.
No. And like we just said too, the people give him the pass because he's just a quiet guy. He comes to work and he's trying to get the job done. So people cheer for people like that, man. It's just the way of life. And if you act up and you act cocky and you think you're the new hot shot in the block and you say you're gonna at the end of your career have more Super Bowls than Tom Brady, people don't appreciate that.
Well, and it's like you said too, not only the fans going to be against you, but you're going to have the players, you know, trying to do something to prove to you that you're not what you think you are.
Oh, yeah. They're really going to be coming after
because who's chasing after him? I mean, it's the alpha males of the alpha males. It's the Max Crosby's. It's the,
you got to think, I mean, you're going to be playing Aiden Hutchinson in that division. Yep. I mean, you got Green Bay, who's formidable. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, but I will say this with Caleb. I think a lot of people, and I'll go back to what you said, I think a lot of people are expecting CJ Stroud type stuff. If it don't happen, though, and you have him, I wouldn't panic or anything like that. I mean, because every player develops different.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes maybe a good humbling will help him even going into year two. So, might not be a bad thing, but this is the only pick here to make, that's for sure. But we're going to come on over here to Ty. Ty, the 102, I'm pretty sure I know who you're going to take. And we're going to ask you why you did it.
Yeah, obviously, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the safest player here, no doubt about it. But Drake May, for me, man, that's who I'm going to go with. He goes to New England, not my favorite spot in the world, but it seems like already New England's already rallying around this guy and building around him. And like I've already said early on in this show, man, I just watch the tape, and I just see superstar potential oozing out of him, kind of like a mini Josh Allen. And I think the Patriots are a team that can sit there, and they're not going to make him play hero ball because that's when he gets in trouble. So he'll be seeing Josh Allen twice a year or two, so he'll be able to sit and watch him because he has all the similarities. And I don't know, man. I don't see many weaknesses in the guy's game, and I love how they're already starting to build around this guy and helping him going to be able to succeed. So I think Drake May could easily be the best quarterback out of this class, hands down. I wouldn't be surprised if 5 years from now he's a superstar, and all these other guys are just, you know, good players, but not Drake May.
Yeah, I know you're a big Drake May guy, and since you are, let me ask you this. Do you want to see him sit, or do you want to see him play?
Play.
You want him to play
just
right away.
Play, man. I get there's a lot that can help you sit, but for me, personally for me, like, the way I learn is I get in there and play. Like, I get in there and you get your hands dirty and you figure it out. The guy's probably going to struggle in his first year. He's raw. And again, he played a lot of hero ball in college, didn't have a lot of help. So I bet you he does throw a lot of interceptions and stuff. But you got to let the guy come in and play football. I think they have already got a half decent offense. I mean, it's not horrible now. I think they got two really decent receivers, young receivers, Ramondre out of the backfield. I think that he could come in and do a serviceable job this year, but I think there'll be a lot of mistakes. Like I said, Jordan Love, he benefited from sitting. I'm a guy, and I just feel for Drake, he should just come in and play football.
What do you think, Moss?
Yeah, I think I would sit him, but I mean, I see Ty's point, but a lot of that times the guy comes out and struggles, it messes with their head. I mean, he is very raw. So I would sit him, but I mean, I see your point. I mean, if he can get over that, and I mean, the Patriots are going to be the only team that can get inside his head. Like, if he's a mentally tough guy and they think he can go out and throw five picks and be okay next week and be able to forget about it, then hey, go out and start him. But like, if it's like one of those where you think it's going to bother him,
I think New England's going to play Brissett early.
I would,
But my thing is, like, it's kind of different, right? Like, when you mentioned Jordan Love, when he sat behind Aaron Rodgers, like, he was in a good system, a good team. Like, they made the playoffs so that he didn't have to play. You know, like, the same thing with Patrick Mahomes with Alex Smith. They made the playoffs. He didn't have to play. Like, what we're going to see, though, is if New England struggles with Brissett, they go 1-3, you know, you're going to be hearing a lot of people calling for Drake May.
And Brissett's a different caliber quarterback than Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith, but I feel like Jacoby's been around the block a little bit, to where he can kind of mentor a little bit. So.
Oh, I think he'll mentor, but like, yeah. What I'm saying is, like, when the Packers were winning, you had no reason to call for Jordan Love.
Right, right.
When the Chiefs went to the playoffs with Alex Smith, I mean, people still wanted to see Mahomes, but they didn't have to rush it.
Right.
Like, you know how it is with pressure and the media and the fans.
Right.
They might be caught. I think that's the route they're going to take, because they might say, okay, we might not want to play him right away. We'll give Jacoby a shot. If it goes bad, then we're going to have to put him in.
If it's for a couple of games, I'm fine with that. I just don't want it to be a full year. I just don't want it to be a full
either.
Year.
I wouldn't either.
To me.
Trade deadline?
Yeah, I think that'd be fair. Oh,
definitely.
I think that'd be fair.
For me, it's like four games.
Yeah, I'd say trade deadline.
I want the guy to come in and play football. He's a number three overall pick for a reason, which to me should have been number two by a landslide, but he's number three overall pick. The kid's got to play. So.
Definitely got a high ceiling, and I know, like I said, this is a gamble, like you said, Ty, but if it pays off, I mean, this is super flex.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we've seen it all, time and time again, whenever you pay that gamble off. Like last year, if you would have took Stroud over Gibbs or Bijan, boy, you would have hit a home run.
Yeah.
So definitely agree. I can't say I don't agree with the pick. I like Drake May myself. He's my quarterback, too, in this class. I think he's going to be a nice player, and I like the fact that what New England's building, it might not happen this year, but in a year or two, this offense could be pretty darn good. But we're going to come on over here to me at the 103. I'm going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. here at 103. Landing with the Arizona Cardinals. We said it. Ty said it. This is a safe pick. This is almost a 90, probably 5% chance of him being a really great player in this league. I don't see a world where he busts. This could be the new Larry Fitzgerald for the Cardinals. We've heard about it. And if it was, I mean, look how long Larry was in the league. Look how productive he was. So this could be an absolute home run here at pick three. Getting Marvin Harrison. Right now, I want to get you guys' feelings on him landing in Arizona and how you feel about it here at pick three. Mus, what do you think about Marv here?
Oh, I like it. He would be my two overall pick. Nothing against Drake May. I mean, I have Jaden Daniels as my quarterback, too, and I'd still take Marvin Harrison over him. I just feel like he's safe. Now, obviously, I get the whole super flex. If the quarterbacks do take off, then you can get plus. But,
right.
And I think it would depend on rosters. I mean, if I am a super quarterback needy team, obviously you're going to take the quarterback. But like I said, I love Marvin Harrison Jr. in Arizona.
Yeah, it was like one of them ones that actually come through and hit exactly the way we wanted to. We kind of knew the top guys would be the quarterbacks, but this one was nice, the fact that they stayed put and took him here. How do you guys feel about his finish next year? Like, I could see him being a wide receiver one for sure.
I could, yeah, back end.
Yeah, like 12 or 11.
Yep, 12 to 15, I would say.
Yeah.
Or 10 to 15.
Now, let me ask Moss, you know, we had this conversation, I don't know, a month or two ago. Do you still think, not based on landing spots, do you still think Neighbors can compete with Harrison for skill-wise?
I think if they both went to an equal landing spot, I think so, yeah.
Really, you still believe that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I just like Neighbors' yak ability.
Yeah, well, I like Marvin Harrison's everything ability.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison's a really nice, well-rounded wide receiver. Like, I think he is the best, but I think as far as, like, just getting the ball and taking it to the house. Well, like,
I loved him, then I seen him 6'3", 209, and I almost passed out. This guy's going to be a freaking machine, man, especially now. Coming back into the landing spots, getting Kyler Murray. Wow, man. It's going to be fireworks in Atlanta. Atlanta better be excited. Arizona better be excited. I mean, they had a heck of a draft, and, boy, getting a guy like this with a great quarterback like Kyler Murray, one of the most underrated players in the league, in my opinion, it's going to be fireworks.
Yeah, Trey McBride.
Yeah.
I said this months ago. We did. I mean, we talked about it. Arizona's one of these offenses I wanted to get into before it's too late.
Yeah.
I mean, because if Kyler's healthy, this thing's going to be hitting on all cylinders. And I like Jonathan Gannon, too. But, yeah, I think Marvin Harrison, realistic expectations, I think. You got to think. There's really no one there. And I'll say this, too. Michael Wilson's a good buy.
Yeah.
Because they did not draft anybody else. So, yeah. I mean, and you got to think, I mean, they got Trey McBride there. They got Marv now. He's going to see a lot less coverage.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Could be a nice pickup as well. Marvin Harrison is my slam dunk pick here. I love him. Love the landing spot in Arizona. We're going to come on over here to Moss, the 104. Moss, who's it going to be?
I'm going to take Jaden Daniels. Like I said, he is my quarterback, too. I just really like his rushing upside. And to be honest, I really like his arm. I mean, he is a very accurate thrower for being a kind of a, you know, a runner of the football. So I'm going to take him for the fantasy floor. I mean, we saw Justin Fields' value. I mean, Justin Fields can't throw the ball, but I mean, we saw him come out as what, rookie year, the year after his rookie year, and his value is through the roof. Everybody was giving up 3 first round picks for him.
And I think, right, like going to Washington, him landing in Washington, I think you're hoping for the RG3 effect.
Yeah.
That really good rookie year where he runs around, does this and that, and then you could possibly get those picks. So, like, I see what you're doing here, especially like from, like, I mean, a value standpoint with the quarterback. He's got to go in this range right here. I mean, the fact, too, like, how do you feel about him in this offense? Like, with Terry McLaurin, I mean, that's pretty much all they have. I mean, Zach Ertz is kind of an older guy, reliable, but he's kind of washed at this point. They did draft Ben Sinnott, which maybe we'll get into later. But how do you feel about Daniels with Washington, Moss?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it seems like the new ownership group and everything, they're trying to turn something around there. Now, I will agree with Andy, though. He, unless they kind of teach him how to take better hits,
yeah,
it's one of those where you're going to have to, you might want to get out quick on him.
We seen that last year with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
So I know you're chomping a bit to chime in here, Ty, on Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, at the spot, you almost got to take him, but I'm not a fan whatsoever. The guy won't last. I think his receivers are the only reason why he put up the stats that he did, throwing the football. A lot of slants and shit, like, and that was all Neighbors and Brian Thomas. Yeah, I mean, going to his rushing ability, he's fast, he's elusive, but, like, the guy takes big hits, and he's not a very big guy.
Yeah.
Like, he took some big hits in college. Like, I'm just not a fan of the player.
He's just got to get down.
Yeah.
That, and I mean, Washington's never had, they've never groomed a quarterback.
That's true.
They've never had a stud. Like, they don't know how to do it.
But this is a complete, like, new coach. Like, you can't really.
Yeah, but it don't matter.
Neither is Houston. Houston ever groomed the quarterback. Oh, look at this, CJ Stroud. Like, you can't live in the past.
Deshaun Watson. Oh, yeah. he turned out good.
Well, he was good for Houston.
Yeah, he was decent. But, like, that's what I'm saying. You can't live in the past, I.
I'm not living in the past.
You can't say, oh, the Bears never groomed the quarterback. Caleb Williams still turned out good.
Caleb Williams has a lot more potential than Jaden Daniels.
I'm just saying, you can't live in the past.
Yeah, but, I mean, what do they have, really? Okay, they got Terry McLaurin.
Right. Did they end up drafting a receiver?
No.
No, so they got Dotson. Yeah.
No.
I'm not saying.
He's not going to have a lot of help around him. The O-line sucks. Washington's never had a good quarterback. He's not going to outperform Sam Howell last year.
Well, no. I mean, that's going to be hard to outperform.
Okay. Well, he got traded for a bag of chips.
that's not me. I didn't do that. Well,
I mean, if they weren't the GM.
Well, I know,
but I mean, what's that tell you? What's so impressive about that? If he can't outperform Sam Howell last year.
Well, I mean, the defense should play better. Sam Howell is playing hero ball. I mean, he's throwing it 50 times a game.
We're hoping Jaden Daniels doesn't have to throw it 50 times a day.
Well, if he does, then it's going to be a complete disaster.
Why? He throws a nice ball.
Oh, yes, yeah, slants. Shit. I hope Terry's got that slant route planted.
Maybe he does.
If he does, he might be all right because that's all he's going to throw. He ain't going to throw outside the numbers. He ain't going to throw it down the field. This guy's going to be a bust. You know how I was on A. Rich last year? This guy I am on way more than Anthony Richardson, just because Richardson has the size. Like, he did have a lot of potential. I just didn't really like the player. But Jaden Daniels is just not my cup of tea.
He throws a nice deep ball. Yeah, he does. No. Yeah.
He's not the right size. Just not
to throw a deep ball.
Why?
I said he throws a nice deep ball, and you're like, he doesn't have the size.
Well, I'm saying just like physically, he don't have the right size.
Neither did Drew Brees. Neither did Russell Wilson.
You're living in the past, Moss.
Oh, yeah, mister.
Oh, Washington's never had a quarterback.
They haven't.
Okay, well, you're living in the past, too.
No.
I'm just saying. You'll
never learn. That's why you don't win.
Oh, here we go. So we're going to have this debate and this topic probably all summer long, so. We'll hear about it.
And who's always right? Who's always right?
Always, huh?
Always.
I love it. That's enough of the Jaden Daniels talk. Must took him at 104. We're going to go over to Ty here. 105, Ty. Who's it going to be here?
Yeah, this is where it gets kind of tough. But, again, you almost got to go with the potential Malik Nabers with the Giants. Daniel Jones, I don't know how to feel about him. Not really a fan, but... I mean, he's playing for. I mean, they're giving him a chance, so he's playing for his life this year. So hopefully, Daniel get her turned around. But Malik Nabers is a guy. I think that he could pretty much play with anybody. Really anybody. Does scare me a little bit because I mean, it does take a quarterback to get the football. But he is a good football player. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's near Marv. I think that's definitely a tier down for me, especially by the landing spot. But I think he will be a real good player in the NFL, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and like the landing spot ain't great, but one thing to consider, like, there's no one else there.
Yeah.
I mean, he should see a ton of targets.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good thing. How do you feel about Malik Nabers with the Giants, Moss?
Yeah, that's where I would have took him. Like Ty said, not an ideal landing spot. He'll be the shoe-in number one. I mean, there's no competition there. And like we were talking about, I mean, he's kind of quarterback proof in a way. We saw what DJ Moore did with Justin Fields, who couldn't really throw. So, you know, you just get the ball in this guy's hands and
let him go to work.
Let him cook.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting, though. Did you see his comments about Daniel Jones and the quarterbacks before he even went there?
He doesn't seem very happy being there.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said about, like, well, if the Giants take me, I mean, we'll have to see what we can do with the quarterback situation, basically. Like, he wasn't really endorsing Daniel Jones.
He dodged the question pretty much.
I saw when they arrived at the Giants facility, he wasn't very happy.
Well, they said he was tired.
Oh, really?
Is that what it was? Up, and that's what they're claiming. They said when he first got there, he was really tired. You could tell he was tired. But
what do you expect from him next year? Like, where's a fair finish from Malik Nabers?
I would hope a wide receiver too.
I think he can get in the top 20.
Yeah,
based on potential.
I was gonna say I can see him 18.
Yeah,
you know, somewhere in there. You know, 17. I think that's doable. I mean, he should see a ton of targets. One thing we know about Malik Nabers, Like, the quarterback play ain't great with the Giants, but he can separate really well.
Yeah, he can.
So, I mean, if he can get some of that underneath separation, I'm sure at least Daniel Jones or whoever can put the ball on him. So, I would have took him here, too. It's a great pick. Like you said, not the most ideal landing spot, but I think it's not as bad as people are making it out to be.
No.
Some people are, like, all doom and gloom over it.
Yeah, and you can't pass any talented players just based on landing spots. I know it sucks. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet. You got it. You got to take the guy. Look at these teams. Look how quick they can turn around, man.
Right.
The teams can turn on a dime, so.
Yep, for sure. We've seen it with Chicago.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chicago, my next pick here at the 106, I'm taking Rome Odunze, as Jimmy would say. Rome Odunze going to the Bears here. I love it. I mean, you know, I get it. It probably ain't going to happen this year at a high, super high level because this offense has got to find itself a little bit. I mean, I know there's a lot of weapons there, but you still have Keenan Allen. You still have DJ Moore. You still have Cole Kmet. This is one I think you might have to wait on until next year. I'm not going to say it's going to be horrible. Like, I can see him flirting with a back-end wide receiver too this year. But the talent's there, and what better place than to learn than behind Keenan Allen? Like, Rome Odunze and him are very similar in a lot of ways, like size-wise. I do think Keenan's a little bit better of a route runner, but that's a good thing. Maybe he can teach Rome Odunze a couple things in that department. But how do you guys feel about Odunze with the Bears and coming into the season? I mean, what's your expectations, I should say?
He's probably going to go into that JSN role.
Yeah, I think he'll do a little better than JSN.
Yeah, I think so, too. Like, I mean, you just got to be patient because, I mean, Caleb Williams, like you said, probably should be better than Geno Smith. I mean, he should be able to get him the ball a little bit more than JSN was able to get the ball. But, yeah, I mean, he's just the guy I think you're going to have to be patient with. And if you didn't end up drafting him, maybe go after the owner and maybe he is a little impatient.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a good buy maybe next year, kind of like how JSN's kind of been a little bit on the downward slide. But, I mean, what do you guys think? Wide receiver two, do you think he can get there? I mean, at least 24, do you think it's going to be tough for that?
I think it'll be back end. It's going to be tough because, I mean, it's going to be tough just for DJ Moore and Keenan Allen to get in there, and I just don't think they'll be able to fit a third.
Yeah, so. That's a good point. I mean, do you think maybe high-end wide receiver three possibly? Like 26, 27?
Yeah. I do, and that's just if Caleb Williams comes out and he plays like he's supposed to play. And I'll tell you, though, man, like we did talk, whenever you get to sit behind a year behind Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and pick their brain, like, it could be fireworks from here on out.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it could be awesome.
It's all about patience, right, with these prospects. Like, I mean, Rome Odunze, everyone's expecting fireworks right away, but this could, for the long haul, like you said, Ty, benefit him even more.
Yeah.
If things go right.
Look at Atlanta. They're really going to have to be patient.
Well, hey, we'll be getting to them before too long, I'm sure. We're going to go over here to Muss at the 107. Muss, who are you looking at here? Who are you going to take?
I think you're going to have to go positional advantage right here. I think I'm going to go Brock Bowers. I mean, they're going to have either Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell at the quarterback. Either one should check down to their safety blanket and Brock Bowers. And outside of Devontae Adams, you got Jacoby Myers and stuff like that. But Brock Bowers, he can line out in the slot. He can play the regular tight end role. I feel like this guy's in line for a nice little role in Vegas. So,
yeah, and one thing we knew when the Raiders were on the clock, they love athletes.
Yeah.
So this don't surprise me really, but this puts a tombstone on Michael Mayer. Like, we all last year come out and said, look, Michael Mayer's a good NFL tight end. He's not a great fantasy tight end. Like we said, he's someone just isn't our cup of tea. And right now you're seeing it, man. I mean, Vegas going a different direction, picking up Brock Bowers here. But how do you feel about, like, I mean, I know Ty said this, like, as high as you're picking him, you're hoping for a top five finish.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to happen, though, in this offense. I think it's going to be really, really tough. I mean, I still think he can be a tight end one, but I think he's more of a back end guy until they get this quarterback situation filled out. But, like, how do you feel about Brock Bowers going forward, Ty? Like, I mean, we know they got Aiden O'Connell, but boy, if they don't get this quarterback situation right, is it realistic that he can maybe get up that high?
Again, I think it's going to take time, and again, Rome wasn't built in a day, so I think eventually the Raiders will get better. I mean, they really can't get worse, but I think he'll be just fine. He ain't going to probably get in the top five, barring a miracle. This season, I still expect him to be probably top eight, though, just because where you're drafting him, but The guy's got all the talent in the world, man. If they can end up getting a quarterback, this guy could be a complete steal where you're picking him, especially because, I mean, for how long? You look at all the championship teams. I mean, Kelsey's always there in the Super Bowl lineups, so he could slot himself right into to be the next Kelsey role.
Yeah. I mean, if he hits, he definitely could. My only concern is this the Kyle Pitts effects, the AFC version?
Nah.
Because we've seen it with the Falcons. I mean, they didn't have the quarterback situation addressed. I do think Brock Bowers is definitely a way better tight end than Kyle Pitts. But it's like, man, it just worries you when they don't have a stable quarterback situation.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but you know how it is. I mean, if you throw out there a quarterback that's not very great, I mean, they're always looking for the tight end. I mean, that's always the one spot they're going to be looking for. And I think Bowers can get a lot of volume even with bad quarterback play. Yeah. He can separate, man.
They should be looking for him.
Yeah,
I think so.
He'll be just fine.
Yep, I love Brock Bowers. We'll see what he can do with the Raiders. That one was kind of unexpected. No one had that on their bingo cards.
No.
But, yeah, like I said, Michael Mayer, that pretty much put the tombstone on him. But we're going to come on over here to Ty, the 108. Ty, who are you looking at here at 108? There's a variety of directions you can go, but I'm pretty sure I think I know who you're going to take.
You know, I don't know. It's really tight. I mean, 108 is a really tough spot to pick right now if that's how your draft plays out, which, I mean, 99 out of 100, that's how your draft's going to play out right there from 101 to 107. But down between Brian Thomas and J.J. McCarthy, damn, that's tough. I'll probably have to go with Brian Thomas, and that's just because I believe in the player. And going to Jacksonville, I mean, that's a great landing spot. I mean, I hate passing up quarterback potential, don't get me wrong, especially in an offense like Minnesota, but I'm just not a J.J. McCarthy fan. I don't see him being a good quarterback in the NFL, or for fantasy purposes. He might even be half-decent in the NFL just playing as a game manager, but I just don't see him being a guy that's going to help you win championships. And Brian Thomas is a guy, he kind of reminds me a lot of Brandon Ayuk, man. He even has kind of like the similar looks. So I think with Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, we know, is a guy that he likes to if he likes to throw to you, you're going to get a lot of volume. So hopefully Brian Thomas and Trevor Lawrence can hook up. And, boy, if he gets the volume kind of like how Evan Engram gets every game, yeah, the sky's the limit for Brian Thomas. He'll be a great player in the NFL for a long time.
Like, we know Brian Thomas is raw. You know, like, we get that. Like, he is. I mean, he's still a young guy. But, I mean, the potential's there. I mean, he's like, such a huge ceiling.
Yep.
But the thing is, man, you got to think, Jacksonville's never had a receiver like this, really, with Trevor Lawrence. They was hoping Calvin Ridley would be that guy, and it just didn't happen. But they haven't had a way down the field, big field stretching type weapon. Now they have that with Brian Thomas. He's a perfect complement to Christian Kirk. And honestly, this is probably the pick I would have made as well. I love the landing spot. Moss, how do you feel about Brian Thomas? And would you win a different direction here, or do you think you're on par with what me and Ty would have done?
Yeah, it's probably one of those. It's same with the 102. It probably depends on team need. Obviously, if you need a quarterback,
right,
you could have went a different route. We'll get to that one. But, you know, if you need a receiver, obviously go this route. But, yeah, I mean, I think both of these guys are in the same tier. So
you can make that conversation.
You can make that conversation with your own team.
What do you expect with Jacksonville?
I mean, Kirk's always kind of banged up. Gabe Davis is Gabe Davis. He's just a
boomer bust.
He's just a, I don't know. So I mean, honestly, sky's the limit for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be the ball's in his court. I mean, he's got Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if he can be a security blanket and kind of like step into that Christian Kirk role, he could be good. You know, I mean, we see Christian Kirk put up the numbers when Christian Kirk's healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if he can prove that he's a reliable target, I feel like he has wide receiver one upside. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. As far as 2024 goes, though, where do you see Brian Thomas finishing? Do you think it's realistic he could get to 24?
I think so.
Yeah. I think he could, too.
I think so. I mean, Kirk, like I said, Kirk's never playing healthy. And Gabe Davis is Gabe Davis.
And this is kind of hot take-ish, but I think it's true just based off situation. I'm not saying one player's better than another. But based on situation, I think Brian Thomas could finish ahead of Roma Dunze in 2024 as far as, like, in the receiver.
Oh, yeah, in 2024, you know? Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I could see Brian Thomas being, like, 20 to 24, and I could see Rome being, like, more of a 27-type guy, just based off of situation and what's going on both teams.
And if you really like Rome at the end of the season, if that happens, you could possibly trade him one for one. You could get Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Ty. You could definitely do that. That's a good point. But we're going to come over here to me. And Ty, you took the player I wanted. I figured you would. But here at 109, you know, I'm just going to take what's left to me. And I'm going to go with J.J. McCarthy. I mean, first round quarterback. He's going to go in a lot of super flex drafts right around here. You almost got to take him. I'm like you. I'm not a super fan of the film. I'm not a super fan of the player. But he does land in one of the best landing spots if you're a quarterback. I mean, that's one good thing. You land in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, who's an offensive quarterback type of friendly guy. You get Justin Jefferson, the best receiver in the league. You get Jordan Addison's a hell of a pass catcher himself. TJ Hawkinson when he's back healthy. Veteran running back in Aaron Jones. But I do think they start Sam Darnold to start the season, and they definitely should. Kind of similar like what we said about Drake May, but I do think we'll see McCarthy at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But how do you guys feel about J.J. now that it's officially Minnesota? We knew it was probably going to be, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, he's coming into a great situation with Addison. Should get Hawkinson maybe by the time they do tell him to, you know.
Take the reins.
I mean, hopefully Hawkinson's back. You got, obviously, Justin Jefferson, arguably the best receiver in the league. You got Kevin O'Connell. I was drawing a blank. I mean, he seems to be a quarterback guru kind of, so I mean, he falls into the perfect situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of J.J. McCarthy by any means, but if he's going to succeed and be a good fantasy player for years to come, Minnesota was where he needed to go.
Right.
In my opinion, just because he's a guy where he's a guy that isn't going to win football games just strictly on his arm, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't think anyone's ever went to him and handed him the ball and said, go win us this game. So he's just a guy that's going to, I would think it would just put you up decent points every game, like maybe like the 15 to 20 range. I just don't see him ever being an elite quarterback. But again, if he's going to be, this is the right spot by all means.
And I like what you said like a week ago or so, Ty. I was listening to one of the shows, and you said J.J. McCarthy's a guy that can't give you a lot with less. He can give you okay amount with a lot.
Yeah.
Is basically what you're saying. And I agree with that. Like, that was a really good way to put it. And like you said, landing in Minnesota, this is the best thing that could have happened for him. But he's going to go a lot right in this area, 1-9 to 1-12. And if you are a good team, I mean, hey, why not take a J.J. McCarthy, just gamble? And like, we all know how valuable quarterbacks are in Superflex leagues. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I think it's a good move for sure. But we're going to come on over here to Mus now, the 110. He's eye spying with his little eye right now. Mus, 110. This is going to be interesting. I want to see who you want to go with here.
I'm going to have to do it. This is a guy we didn't really like his film, but I think he wound up in a good situation. I'm going to have to take Xavier Worthy. The Chiefs traded up to get him. I mean, he is paired with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Rashid Rice is going to have a suspension. Hollywood Brown is Hollywood Brown. He's just the guy.
Probably get injured.
So, I mean, he should be slotted in to make an impact right away. And it's one of those that if you don't believe in him, hurry up and trade him before Rashid Rice comes back. But this guy's either he's going to hold value or he's going to take off and he's going to be productive.
Well, I think we can all agree, too, that he's kind of a guy that's got a sexy name just because of speed. And then, of course, playing with Patrick Mahomes. So if the guy does come out and light the world on fire, yeah, you're going to be able to get a ton for him.
And I know Andy uses the term artificial dynasty value. I'm going to use the term imagination dynasty value because people like to imagine things. You know what I mean? I like Xavier Worthy. But, like, it's a better fit from an NFL perspective than a fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
What they're going to do with the Chiefs is they're going to run him down the field all the time, and he will catch a big touchdown every once in a while. No doubt about it with Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to clear it out for Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce right in the middle of the field, and that's going to help the run game. And this is just a player that the Chiefs, you know, have had. We've seen it with MVS. We've seen it, like, they Nicole like.
Nicole Hardman.
Yeah, they like guys like this. Yeah. Sky Moore. I mean, And I'm not saying like Xavier Worthy is going to be absolutely chopped liver. I think he could maybe be a wide receiver two in this offense.
I agree.
But I think people are expecting high end wide receiver one numbers. I know Ty said a lot of people compare him to Tyreek Hill. He is not Tyreek Hill.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, I think it's just like if you take him, know what you're getting now.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be an absolute turd, But I do think he'll be just like maybe a back-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, though, Mus. Like, he is somebody that holds value.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if it don't go well, if your expectations ain't meet, say you're one of them people who are like, you disagree with this, and you're like, oh, he's going to be a wide receiver one.
Yeah.
And next year he comes out and he does the high-end wide receiver or back high-end wide receiver three, back-end wide receiver two, then take him and trade him.
Right.
Because he's still got that name and he's still in that offense, and you could easily get out from under him that point. So
yeah.
You can probably still get a great haul. So I don't disagree with it, Mus, just based off value alone.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Worthy to the Chiefs, Ty? I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think he's going to get overdrafted, no doubt. And I kind of agree. I don't think he'll be a scrub by any means, but I just don't ever seen this guy being an elite type guy. And yeah, exactly. People are going to think that this is, you know, the new Tyreek Hill in Kansas City. Because, I mean, everyone does that, like, pretty much on every team. Like, you see the fastest guy get drafted, like, yep, next Tyreek Hill, next Tyreek Hill, next Tyreek Hill. And now this guy's in Kansas City. People are really buzzing. I've seen people on Twitter getting really excited about it. So if it's me and he comes out, Rashee Rice gets suspended and he's going off, I'd hurry up and trade him.
Yeah.
I would.
Yep. Take advantage.
Yep.
I agree. We're going to hop over here to you, Ty, though. 111. Who you taking here at 111?
Yeah, I'm going to go probably my favorite day two landing spot. That's Ladd McConkey to the Chargers.
I knew you'd take it. I knew it.
Yeah, I didn't really mind him coming out of college. I mean, not my favorite player, but I didn't hate him by any means. So his film was half decent. Now he's going with Herbert. I mean, let's get real. Herbert doesn't really have anyone to throw to, so McConkey's going to come right in. I think he'll be the most targeted guy in this offense because he's a guy who can get separation. He can get open for Herbert. And I think Herbert's really going to lean on the guy. I mean, I think that he's going to have a really nice rookie season. And I think if you get him in this spot, you're going to have a really nice receiver paired with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So
yeah, I agree with you, man. I love that landing spot for Ladd McConkey, yep. And he was definitely the player I was going to take here at my next pick. And he's going to go a lot right in this range, right? I mean, it should be good. But I mean, here's the thing: I think I want to make a point with Ladd McConkey, and we said this, and Andy said it in one of his cells. Quentin Johnston, you know, was one of his cells. And you got to look at this now, man. Quentin Johnston's the third. Maybe fourth best receiver on this team now. If you could still get a first for him, I would do it in a heartbeat because Ladd and Joshua Palmer, to me, are better than QJR. So, I don't know, man. Could you trade Quentin Johnston for Ladd McConkey straight up?
Oh, I doubt it, but that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great.
If you could do it.
Do you think, though, I mean, is there any reality that Harbaugh can get something out of Quentin Johnston? Like, if there's anyone that can unlock him, could it be Harbaugh?
I think like he could unlock him, but he'll hit his ceiling. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not gonna say he's gonna be like what we seen last year, but like, okay, what if he hits a high end wide receiver three and people are like, oh yeah, next year's the year.
Yeah,
you know that could happen.
Yep.
But I think if I could just cash out and get like Ladd McConkey straight up,
yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah.
But like, what's your expectations with him? Because we know he's one of the best route runners in this class. And this is a totally different receiver than what the Chargers usually draft. They usually draft the Quentin Johnston, Mike Williams, skyscraper types. How do you think he fits in this offense, Mus?
It'd be nice if he could be a wide receiver, too. I mean, you know Herbert's going to sling it.
He's going to pepper him, no doubt.
He's got really nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. It's only up in this offense.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, with the Chargers, too. Like, it might not happen this year, but it's coming. Like, they are building.
Yeah, they're coming.
Yep, for sure. Going to hop over here to me at the 112. Boy, there's three guys here I'm looking at, and it's a tough call. And I think the only reason I'm doing this is just because I'm 112. I have the luxury to do it, and I can wait. I'm going to take Michael Penix here at 112. The surprising Atlanta Falcons taking him at 107. I mean, we had Hutchinson Brown on with us during these picks.
Yeah,
and I said about them drafting a tight end possibly, and we were laughing like they always do something that sets Twitter on fire, and guess what? They set Twitter on fire yet again. Taking Michael Penix after giving Kirk Cousins $100+ million guaranteed four-year deal. My reasoning here for taking him is obviously he's the seventh overall pick in the draft. Getting him here at 112, I have no problem with it. I can wait. I'm a good team. If you're sitting at 112, you obviously won your championship game. If he's there, I think it's a good move because I had Penix and Knicks real close in my rookie rankings. I like Knicks a little bit more, But I like this situation more with Penix.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he has the weapons. I like the fact that he gets to sit behind Kirk Cousins and learn. The big thing I was worried about with Penix was the injuries.
Right.
But the fact that he can probably sit now for at least 2 years, I mean, maybe three. I mean, like Andy said, at some point we're going to see him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're going to have to. But I think he's going to sit at least for a year or two, and that might not be a bad thing given his injury history. He gets to learn behind Kirk Cousins, and he gets to practice with all these weapons in practice. And I don't know, man. I just feel like if I can gamble here, this is a good gamble on someone that was picked seventh in the draft in a Superflex league.
Yeah.
Mus, what do you think about this Penix stuff?
Honestly, like, how many times are you going to be able to sit at the 112 and take a top 10
quarterback? Yeah.
Like normally, like, think about it. Like, if there was only two quarterbacks taken in the top 10, they would go probably 1-2.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's one of those, like, you're getting great value if you're at the 112. You're at the 112 and Penix drops to you. Hey, man, roll the dice. Like, if he's going to be the starter someday.
Yeah.
I mean, chances are he's going to be a starter. And, I mean, if you want to roll with him, roll with him. If not, guess what? You could probably trade him for a first plus. Like, I definitely would take him here.
Yeah, I mean... It was a shocker, the draft, no doubt, but, I mean, this pick kind of scares me about Kirk Cousins, too.
Yeah, what's his health status?
Yeah, there's something going on there. So, I mean, they didn't just take him, just say, okay, yeah, we're going to let him sit for 4 years. Nah, there's no way. The guy's already, how old was he, 24, 23? I think he's coming up on 24, so... You're going to see him eventually, whether that be a year or two. But, yeah, once he comes in, though, boy, he's got some good targets to throw it to.
Yep. And he gets the rest, you know, his injured body. But, like, I know Ty and Mus, I don't know, Mus, did you have Penix over Nix originally?
I did, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
I think you and Andy had Nix over Penix.
I had Nix over Penix,
but now, given this, I think we got to give it to Penix the edge, am I right? Just based off landing spot and, like, everything that went on?
Yeah, and they were close to me, and that's pretty much what did it, was the landing spot. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's by like a ton, though, just because you never know with Nix and with Sean Payton out there in Denver. I know they don't got a lot, but they obviously see something in him, too. So.
And they know, and Sean Payton is a good coach.
He is.
And I will say this, Bo Nix, out of all these quarterbacks, as far as like comfortableness in the pocket, he's pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, so I would not sleep on Bo Nix either.
No, I wouldn't either.
But we're going to go over here to Mus. Mus, we're going to start second round, the 201. Who are you taking here at the top of the second?
If I was really a team sent at 201, I wouldn't take this guy, but I'm going to take him just for the sake of this mock draft. I'm going to take a gamble. I'm going to take Jonathan Brooks.
I don't mind it at all.
I mean, like I said, if you're legit to 201, you really shouldn't take a running back, I don't think. But, I mean, he's in a Carolina offense that Miles Sanders and
Chuba Hubbard,
I drew a blank on his name. So, I mean, this guy should shoe in to be the number one running back, and they did beef up that O-line. They're going to try everything to get Bryce Young going, and the best way to get Bryce Young going is to try to get a run game. So they're going to try to run him.
I believe in Dave Canales.
I do, too.
I mean, I don't think Carolina's going to set the world on fire by any means, but I do think they're going to be better this year. I mean, he is a quarterback, you know, fixer. I mean, I wouldn't even say a guru. He kind of fixes people a little bit, right? Like, he might not be able to operate on, but he at least puts a Band-Aid on it. We've seen Geno Smith look better. We've seen Baker Mayfield look better with Dave Canales. So if anyone can help Bryce Young out a little bit, I think it's him. And I'm like you, Mus. A good running game. Jonathan Brooks was my running back one coming into this draft. So I was not surprised he was taken first. But the big thing is, you know, we hear this all the time. Like, we heard people, oh, he'll be ready. The knee will be ready by training camp. No, it won't.
Right.
It never is. I mean, we heard that with J.K. Dobbins. We heard that with all these guys last year about how ready they were going to be. And you might not see big production for sure this year, but I think in 2025, this will be a really good pick.
Yeah.
Because I think by that time, you know, Miles Sanders, maybe they buy him out. You know, maybe his contract ends. I don't know how many years he got.
Yeah.
Chuba Hubbard might be gone.
Right.
So this could be really Jonathan Brooks' time. More of a 2025 player.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's only 20 years old.
But you can't deny the talent.
Right.
The guy is one of the most talented running backs I've ever seen. I know, Ty, you didn't love the landing spot, but I know you like Brooks as far as a player.
Yeah, and I mean, if you really do believe him as a running back one in the NFL, he'll make it work.
Yeah, he will.
These guys can make it work with little. I mean, look at Najee Harris for the years of Pittsburgh. He had absolutely no offensive line, no passing game. Still a 1,000-yard rusher every year, so...
If the guy is the real deal, he'll be just fine. And I don't think it's the worst landing spot in the world. I don't think it's great by any means, but I got to thinking about it. It is an up-and-coming team. I mean, they almost have to be. So, yeah, I don't mind it, but it isn't my favorite.
Yeah.
Again, if he's good, he'll be just fine.
Yep, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I like the Jonathan Brooks pick. I was happy to see him get was crazy is my top five backs. I almost went 5 for 5. 4 out of my top 5 went first. The one I missed on was Ray Davis. He was one pick off. I think Jalen Wright went, then Ray Davis went.
Yeah, leave Jalen Wright alone. Should have been in your top 5, son.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I think he's a good change of pace.
He's a good player.
We're going to go over here to Ty at the 202. Ty, Jonathan Brooks off the board, 202. Who you taking here?
Yeah, there's a couple players I like here. But, you know, again, you almost got to go with Bo Nix. I mean, you got to go with the starting quarterback in Denver. We were talking on draft night that, if Bo Nix struggles, they could possibly be in play for a quarterback next year. See, unless they get, like, the 1-1 or something, I don't believe that. Just because Sean Payton's a guy I don't like to be wrong.
Right.
And I just feel like even if Bo Nix shows you something, he'll be like, yeah, he's our guy. And if he's a starting quarterback, obviously they always hold their value. And if he comes out and he actually plays really well, which it's going to be tough for him because Denver's depleted. They don't got much. They don't got a line. They don't got a running game. They don't got great receivers. I mean, Cortland Sutton's really all they have. But I think I'd rather have the starting quarterback over some of these guys on the board. I like some of them, but I would rather be safe in Denver with Bo Nix. So hopefully he can come out and he can be a top 20 quarterback, and I think that'd be an absolute win for Bo Nix.
You know, I think Denver's going to be bad, no doubt, but yeah. I think a lot of people are like kind of sleeping on them a little bit. Last year there was expectations, you know, they're going to do a lot better. I think this year everyone's just assuming they're going to be horrible.
And he could even have some really nice games because you know they're going to be playing from behind. So they're going to be throwing the football, and if they're getting blown out, there'll be a lot of prevents. So, I mean, he is going to put up some points, no doubt about it.
And you kind of look at this division, right? Raiders are beatable.
Yeah.
You know, Chargers are still beatable. Now, Jim Harbaugh is going to get that thing turned around, but, I mean, right now, it ain't like it's unsurmountable for Denver to beat them.
Right.
You know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs, but, well, I mean,
it's a divisional rival, too. They beat them last year, beat the Chiefs last year in Arrowhead, so.
Yep. And I'm like you, Bo Nix to me is, I don't know, everyone's kind of slandering him, really hating on him. And was he probably going to be picked that high? Should he been? Probably not. But at the same time, you know, I don't think he's as horrible as people are making him out to be.
I don't either. I think he'll be fine.
I do too. We're going to come over here to meet at the 203. And guess what? I am glad that I got this pick because we see people like A.D. Mitchell on the board, Keon Coleman on the board. I'm not going with them. Xavier Leggett. I'm going with Ty's man, Jalen Polk, that landed in New England. I get it. He's not the sexiest player. And I hear people like saying he don't have a huge ceiling. He's a safe floor. That's exactly why I'm picking him here. I'm in the second round. I'm at 203. And this New England offense, you're not going to see it this year, but I think next year, man, it's going to take a big, big step. I love what they're doing. I love the fact that they brought in Javon Baker and Jalen Polk for Drake May. Jalen Polk is a guy that he can just do it all to me. He's a down-the-field player. He can play over the middle. He can catch screen passes. I mean, he's got any kind of A-dot you want him to have. And then in the air for his size, he's actually really good. He's for not the biggest, tallest guy, but he is really good in the air too. So just a really good technician, a good route runner, good all-around player. We were saying he was going to get high draft capital, and people were like, no way, no way. And he almost went in the back end of the first. It was high second round.
Yeah.
So love Jalen Polk. Love this move by New England. He's definitely, to me, the best receiver they got. I love Javon Baker, and I'm not slandering Javon Baker because I like him too. He's in my top 10. But I think Jalen Polk's the better player, the all-around better receiver. How do you guys feel about Polk in New England?
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, other than Pop Douglas, you really got no other competition.
KJ Osborne, he ain't great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who else? They drafted Baker, right?
Baker.
I mean, that's going to be your competition.
Yep.
And, I mean, they both could be on the field at the same time.
And, you know, you got to think about this division, too, right? Buffalo took a big step back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Miami is still the team, but they're kind of, you know, headed back in like I said about Miami, they could be the next Buffalo here soon. Like, they got cap decisions to make. They got to pay Tua. So the band could be coming to an end. And then you have also the Jets, which Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and they have a great defense, but we know Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be there forever.
Right.
So New England's kind of maybe slowly but surely going in the upward direction, like when people ain't noticing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, Drake May's doing, he's going to be looking for a guy to lean on, and I think Polk will be that guy.
He's reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said a lot, man, he reminds me a lot of Santonio Holmes. I love Jalen Polk.
Yeah, you see that.
Good player.
But we're going to hop over here to Muss. It's a 204. Muss, who are you going to take here at 204?
I'm going to take Ricky Pearsall.
I love it.
That's a good pick. I mean, first-round draft capital going to the 49ers. I mean, we love this guy's tape coming out, and he gets a great landing spot. They should trade because they got another receiver too, didn't they? They got two.
Yeah, they got Jacob Cohen.
Yeah. So it's like they're gonna trade Deebo or Ayuk. I mean, they didn't obviously get a trade done draft night, but they're gonna trade one of them, and Pearsall might just slip into one of their spots. So I really like Pearsall going forward, tied to Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan. That offense is just phenomenal. So,
and you said it, we love the tape.
Yep.
I mean, he's someone that, yeah, he went higher than we expected, and a lot of people, but we knew he was going to be a high second round pick.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that San Francisco fell in love with him. And like you said, Kyle Shanahan, and I said this a lot, no matter if it's Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, one of these guys that produce high-end offense, if they take guys like this, my antenna goes up.
Yep.
So this is a great pick. What do you think about Slick Ricky with the 49ers tie?
He just seems like the best fit. Like, he just seems like he fits right in there. And, yeah, man, I liked him coming out of college. And, shit, I mean, playing with San Francisco, he is going to get a great chance. I mean, no doubt about that, Brock Purdy throwing the football. And, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Deebo or Ayuk's going to go here. I mean, just when, we don't know. So I thought definitely it was going to be during the draft. But, yeah, I mean, Ricky Pearsall, man, what a surprise being picked there in the first round. But obviously San Fran sees something in him, and guy could be a heck of a football player for a long time.
I agree, and it is a good fit. I'm with you on that. So I'm excited to see what he can do with the Niners. And I do think Ayuk or Samuel will be gone.
Yeah.
And so, I would say probably Ayuk given the contract stuff.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to hop over here to Ty. Ty, the 205, a variety of ways you can go here. Who's it going to be at 205?
Yeah, there's two players I really like, but I'm going to go with the Steelers' choice, of course. I'm going to go with Roman Wilson.
I love it.
Yeah, I like that pick.
You know the Steelers can draft receivers better than anybody, and I just can't believe Wilson fell the whole way down in our lap. They said value-wise it's one of the best picks in the whole draft. He's easily going to come right in. As long as they don't trade for anybody, and he's going to be the wide receiver two on the team, undoubtedly. And he's just you can just tell he's a Steeler, man. He plays like a Steeler, and I think with George Pickens being on the other side, Wilson's going to have a lot of chances. And now, I mean, say what you want about Russell Wilson, but we got pretty good quarterback play. I mean, not elite by any means, but still a lot better than what we had. So I think Roman Wilson is going to get a lot of chances.
Yeah, I'm with you there, man. I love this pick, and I'm like you. He just doesn't get no respect.
Yeah.
You know, I love Roman Wilson. He does so many things so good, and people just overlook him. And the fact that he fell to us was great, and I'm like you. Who better evaluates receivers than the Steelers?
Yeah. Right.
And this guy fits what we want to do. He's a perfect complement to George Pickens. And I even said it. Like, I'm not saying he's Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't think he'll ever be that good. But, like, I see a lot of the similar type traits of, like, you know, they do a lot of gritty things, this and that. Like, the disrespect that he gets, you know, like, Amon-Ra was a fourth-round guy, and then he set the world on fire. Well, he's still not a top-10 receiver.
Right.
And then he come out and was in the top three, and he's like, well, he's not a top-5 receiver. You know, like, he just gets that disrespect. And I feel like he's kind of in that kind of category of players that are disrespected. And I think, honestly, man, I would not be surprised if this offense can go. I wouldn't be surprised, wide receiver, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think he's solid.
Yeah, he is.
Solid as solid can be, and you can count on him. And he isn't a bust-type player. Like, I think you're picking him here. He's got a real safe floor.
I think he's going to be a really good fantasy player, but I think he's an even better NFL player.
Yeah. And yeah. And I think he'll be around for a long time.
He will.
But we're going to hop over here to me. Ty, that was my pick you took from me, and I don't blame you. But I'm going to go with another running back here. I'm going to take Trey Benson here at the 206, going to the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, maybe arguably one of the better landing spots for these running backs. I mean, Trey Benson isn't my top choice in the running back class, but I do really like him. I mean, he is in my top five, and the fact that he landed with the Cardinals Muscle says it all the time. James Conner's the player that never dies, but at some point you think that's going to come to an end.
Right.
And, you know, I've said it earlier. I want a part of this Cardinals offense. And when we see it with Marv, we see it with Michael Wilson, Kyler Murray, Trey McBride. Trey Benson could be a part of this. So really excited to see what he can do with the Cardinals. I think for if you're a Trey Benson fan, and I do like him, but if you're a super fan of Trey Benson, this is one of the best spots you could ask for. What do you guys think about Trey in Arizona, Ty?
I'm a big Jalen Wright fan. That's where I was hoping he was going to go because we looked James Conner so the last year on his deal. So this will be Trey Benson's backfield after this year, and I still think he's going to get a good fair share of volume this year. So,
yeah, oh, yeah, yep. Yeah. I think it's only a matter of time before he could take the job over. Yep. I mean, we might not see it this year for sure, but next year with James Conner getting older. Mus, what do you think about Conner? I mean, how much time do you think's left? Year?
Possibly, yeah. That's what I would say.
Especially in Arizona.
Yeah.
And us being Steeler fans, like, we've seen him actually stay healthy with the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Very rarely. I mean, he has had an injury here and there, but he was hurt for us all the time.
All the time.
So he's given Arizona more better years than he has the Steelers. So.
Yeah, maybe we should hire their medical team.
I agree. Be like Frank the Tank and boo the Mets training staff.
Yeah.
Boo the Steelers training staff. But Trey Benson, yeah, I'm taking him here at 2-6. I like the player, and I love the landing spot even more.
Yep.
We're going to come over here to Mus at 2-7. Mus, who are you taking here at 2-7? Don't tell me it's going to be Franklin.
No, I'm going to take Keon Coleman. We weren't really in love with his tape, but he lands in a great situation.
Yeah.
I mean, basically a first-round pick. He got picked at the 2-1. No Gabe Davis, no Stephon Diggs. He should see a lot of playing time in that high power Bills offense. So that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go throw a dart throw. You know, once you get past, 2-6 or whatever, you're just throwing darts. You're just looking for upside.
Yeah, and really getting him here is perfect. Like, the bad thing is, like, guys out there, like, if Keon Coleman falls here to 2-7, I have no problem with this.
Yeah.
No problem with it all. But the bad thing is he's going to get taken up towards the top of the second round.
Yeah.
And, or the back end of the first, depending on, who's valuing him more. And that's just too high.
Yep.
That's too high for me to pick Keon Coleman. But 2-7, I don't mind it at all taking a dart throw here with Buffalo.
Yep.
Because that you never know. It could pay off. But I think that's the key. Like, I just don't want to overdraft these guys. But here, I don't mind it. Ty, you Keon Coleman at 2-7?
Yeah, not the biggest fan, but, I mean, when you're paired with a guy like Josh Allen and you don't have much there, I mean, you almost got to go with him here. And again, we're not NFL scouts by any means. He could be a good player.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not like he's going to be trash. So, yeah, Josh Allen throwing the football to him, I think he might be all right.
Yeah, for sure, man. And like you said, too, it's a situation,
yeah,
right? And there isn't a lot there. So he has a chance to separate himself.
Right.
We'll see what he can do. We're going to come over here to me now. We're going to – or to Ty now.
Yeah, say, don't be taking my pick.
I was just ready. I'm just chomping the bit. There's people there I like. But we'll go over here to you at the 2-8. I won't take your pick from you. 2-8, Ty. Who are you taking here?
Not crazy about the landing spot, but I can't let him slide no more. I'm going to take Jalen Wright. Drafted by the Dolphins. Obviously, it's going to be a long road for him, but I'm going to be there right with him, right walking down the road. Mostert, I don't know what his contract situation is looking like. It could only be about another year or two, and he's going to be out the door, no doubt about that.
I think he signed another one-year deal.
1 year? Okay, well, that's all right then. Achan, he can't stay healthy. We know that. Great running back, but the guy just can't stay healthy, and then I think that's when Jalen Wright can come in and take that job. I think he has all the potential in the world. I think he has a potential to be one of the top backs out of this class if he gets his chance. And, boy, I mean, he's a burner. And going to Miami, who knows burners more than Miami? They're always fast. So give me Jalen Wright. It's not going to be fireworks out of the gate. Just hoping he gets his golden chance down the line.
And I couldn't agree with you more, Ty. Like, you did a good job explaining that. Like, he is a good fit for Miami.
Yeah.
Raheem Mostert is getting close to the end. This is probably it for him this season. And they are a lot of injuries there in Miami. He could find himself on the field sooner than you think. But like you said, this is more kind of like what I said earlier. This is more of a 2025 type player. That's what I said about Jonathan Brooks. Like, with these running backs, it's kind of a little bit disappointing. I mean, outside of a couple of them, maybe, like, you're looking probably down the road.
Yeah.
So, like, if you need running back help, you're probably not going to get a lot of help this year from this draft class.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that isn't – I don't mind that pick because that's your guy. And he did find himself in an offense that fits him well.
Especially if you're an Achan owner, I'd be trying to target him just in case Achan goes down and you got the next guy up. He's only 21, so if he sits for a year or two, there's no problems with that.
Yep, and like you said, too, that's a good point with Achan. You have him. I mean, once Mostert's out the door, you got the whole backfield.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we're going to come over here to me at the 209, and there's a couple players I'm looking at here, but this is the one I feel is the safest, and I really like the landing spot. I'm going to take Malachi Corley here at 209, going to the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers and company. I think he is the perfect complement to Garrett Wilson. We know Mike Williams, they signed him, but Corley's a slot guy, so this is great for him. Like I could see good production from Corley this year. Like, we know Aaron Rodgers don't love rookie receivers, but at the same time, he wants to win, too. So, like, if people are taking away Garrett Wilson, they're taking away Mike Williams, Breece Hall, Malachi Corley could benefit from this.
Oh, 100%.
And we said it. He's kind of like a mini Debo Samuel. I don't think he's near as good as Debo, but he does a lot of them same things, gadgety things, get the ball in his hands. He's a very violent runner with the ball in his hands. I love Malachi Corley. He was someone, if we didn't get Roman Wilson, I wanted to see him with the Steelers.
Yep.
But the fact that he lands with the Jets, this is a great landing spot. How do you guys feel about Corley?
I've seen rumors that the Jets, that was their wide receiver 4.
Is that right?
So they really value this guy highly, so I think he's going to get a lot of chances there, and I do like the player. I was hoping the Steelers got him, but definitely not mad about Roman Wilson. So, yeah, I think if they're valuing him at receiver 4 over probably Brian Thomas, I mean, obviously they like the guy, so he is definitely going to get used there.
Definitely. Moss, what do you think about Corley with the Jets here?
Yeah, I think you guys nailed it. I mean, Mike Williams can't ever stay healthy, and even if he is, he could play a good slot. He could be, you know, the Danny Amendola, the Wes Welker, like that.
Yeah, so. And they'll find creative other ways to get the ball in his hand as well. Running the ball, reverses, wildcats, absolutely. Whatever.
Yep. Absolutely.
But I really like Corley. I love the landing spot. Coming to 210, Moss, this is going to be your last pick here of this mock draft at 210. Who are you fancying?
I'm going to take A.D. Mitchell.
He's
another guy that we weren't really high on, but as far as...
Yeah, getting him here ain't bad.
Getting him here ain't bad. You're going to take a risk. I mean, maybe that type 1 diabetes. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm no medical doctor, but I would have a feeling that the Colts medical staff is probably better than his college medical staff, and maybe they can get... I know type 1 diabetes isn't curable, but I'm sure they got somebody that can maybe monitor it a little bit better. Like I said, I'm no doctor. This is me just speculating. But, like, if they can get that under control, I mean, we've seen glimpses, and they said once that, you know. So if they can get under control, I feel like this is one of those dart throws.
Yeah.
Who else do they got outside of Pittman?
Yeah, definitely. I just feel like getting him here I have no problem with because he does have some upside.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind it, but the thing is, there's still people taking him in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
There's still people taking him high in the second. Like, this landing spot to me isn't that great.
Right.
Like, I see him filling more the Alec Pierce role.
Yeah.
You know, and Indy, outside of Michael Pittman, Indy does not draft good receivers.
No.
Like, they have not done a good job in that department. So, I don't know. He's just someone I'm not wild about, but getting him at 210, he was going to go here at some point. I don't mind it at all.
Right.
I just hope that this is actually where he's going in a lot of drafts, but it won't be.
Right.
So, I don't mind you getting him here. And two, you never know with this young offense. Like you said, maybe they hopefully get the diabetes thing under control for him. I mean, just want to see him succeed in that aspect.
Absolutely.
Moss, what do you think, or Ty, what do you think about A.D. Mitchell to the Colts? I mean, I think you're feeling the same way. Like, if you get him here, it ain't bad.
Yeah, it just scares me. Anthony Richardson's just a guy I don't feel I can get him the ball that much. Just seems like a player that ain't going to be able to get him the ball. So, yeah, I mean, at this spot, I mean, he does have potential, but a player I'm not really looking at. But, again, I don't hate it because I understand that he's got to go somewhere, and he does have some potential. So,
yeah, you think he fills the Alec Pierce-type role for the Colts? I mean, like Andy said, I think he's going to do basically what Pierce did, but I think he's going to be just a little bit better.
I would hope he could be better. I mean, yeah, Pierce is horrible. So, yeah, I mean, I think he'll do okay, but he ain't ever going to be nothing special. He's just always going to be a bench guy in fantasy purposes. So
I agree. We're going to come over here to you, though, Ty. We're going to hop into your next pick. It's going to be pick 211. It's your last pick here. 211, Ty, who you liking here?
Yeah, I'm going to go Ray Davis. Buffalo picked him up. I think everyone knows that I've never been a fan of James Cook, and I feel Ray Davis can easily just take that spot for me. James Cook, I mean, he's the better pass-catching back probably, but I think rushing purposes, Ray Davis will end up taking that job. I really do.
Yeah, I can't argue with the pick. I love Ray Davis. I mean, it might be higher than some people would want to take him, but I would take him here. I have no problem with it. Back end of the second in a great offense. And I'm like you, James Cook's more the pass catcher. And I said this with Big E when Ray Davis was picked with the Bills. How do you guys feel about this? Like, they lost a lot of receiving help. It seemed like they want to run the ball more.
Yeah, yeah.
Which for Buffalo might not be a bad thing.
No, it would definitely not be a bad thing. I feel like that's where they've really been lacking. Because, I mean, come January, February, especially in Buffalo, it gets cold. You know?
Absolutely.
You had that playoff game. Was it a playoff game against the Steelers?
Yeah.
Remember, like, they had to, like, move. Like,
they had to move the date.
Like, imagine if they had to play with that.
You have Ray Davis pinballing off.
Yeah, at least now you got Ray Davis. I mean, and the Bills have been kind of known for this. Like, they've been drafting running backs forever, trying to get one to stick.
Yeah.
You know, and Zach Moss, and Devin Singletary.
And I think now they have the perfect combination with Davis and Cook.
Yeah.
Like, Cook can be more your finesse guy and pass catcher, but Cook isn't horrible between the tackles, but he's more your finesse pass catching guy. But now if you need those tough yards, you got a guy that can get them for you.
It's weird with Cook, like, running between the tackles. Like, when he's on, he's on. But, like, when he's off, he's off.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, depends on how he shows up.
Yep.
And maybe what team he's playing. So, I agree with that. But I like the Ray Davis pick. I'm anxious to see what the Bills do. Here's the last pick of this mock draft, 212. I'm going to do this one for Dynasty Dog Mike. Kind of like Moss. I'm going to take a chance here. I'm going to take Xavier Leggett at 212. I don't mind getting him here. Carolina picked him high in the second round. He's someone, another guy we didn't love on film. Kind of reminds me of Treylon Burks, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you never know. I mean, he's got the big frame. He kind of fits the position. And I don't mind getting him here at 212. Problem is, there's people taking him back end first, kind of like A.D. Mitchell. People taking him high second.
Oh, man.
I would never value him that high. Getting him here at 212, I don't have a problem with. I wouldn't have a problem getting him where Musk got A.D. Mitchell or right around 2.8, 2.9. But I'm not picking him in middle, high-end second round. Like, I'm just not. Like, to me, there's a lot better players there that you can draft, and I think we'll have better careers. But I'll take a gamble here with 212. I mean, what do you guys think of Leggett? I mean, we knew this. We said he's going to get taken by Carolina.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about Leggett and Carolina?
First round picks, they traded up to get him.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take that into consideration.
It's Carolina, though.
I know, but, you know, I mean, the team really wanted him. I mean, I don't know why either, but where you're getting him,
yeah,
you got to take a gamble. Like I said, you're taking dart throws. He could easily go in there and be the wide receiver one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that team he could
Deontay.
Be.
Deontay's always hurt. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
You know that.
I thought you were a big Deontay fanboy.
I'm not a big Deontay fan.
Let me ask you this, though, okay? They did bring in Deontay. They get Xavier Leggett. How do you feel about Jonathan Mingo now? I mean, are you buying low or are you just trying to get rid of him?
Get rid of him.
I mean, do you think this is like
the hold, really?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, do you think this is the death nail, though, in Jonathan Mingo?
Yeah.
I mean, we knew he wasn't that good. We weren't high on him last year, and Carolina way overdrafted him.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they want to try to do something here with Leggett and Deontay Johnson.
Carolina's starting to become the graveyard for receivers. They are really bad at drafting receivers, really bad.
We need to get like a graveyard effect on the mixer.
They are. I mean, really. I mean, if you think about it, the only one that's ever hardly been good in the longest time is Steve Smith. I mean, they never have. No one.
Musha Muhammad and Steve Smith.
Yeah.
But after that, yeah, they haven't drafted that well at that position. You're right. All. DJ Moore is the only one.
Oh, DJ Moore. That was a good pick, yeah.
Yep, that was the only one for sure. But, you know, before we wrap this up, though, Ty, I got to ask you one thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Denver's draft? Getting Troy Franklin, getting Audric Estime? I mean, what do you think about this with muscles?
Estime could take Javonte's job.
I was waiting for this. Do you think Estime takes the job?
I wouldn't be surprised. Don't take much.
No.
I think McLaughlin has that job locked. Shit, it don't take much. So,
do you think Troy Franklin hurts Marvin Mims?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
And what does that tell you about Marvin Mims?
What?
Troy Franklin hurts him. I mean, really, Moss.
I don't think Marvin Mims is a wide receiver one by any means.
Well, you guys are acting like you're like, oh, the Marvin Mims slander. Well, I mean, what's the point of slandering the guy that's never going to be in your starting lineup? Like, he's never going to be in your starting lineup. He's just going to rot on your bench.
You've
I don't understand why people come after me about slandering a backup, possibly a waiver claim player. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Yeah. So everyone in the Discord, when this comes out tomorrow and you listen to Fantasy Feud, at the end, tell us how you feel. Does Marvin Mims lose his job to Troy Franklin, and does Audric Estime take Javonte's job?
Well, the Estime thing's, I doubt it.
That's a stretch, yeah.
Yeah, that is a stretch because he does suck. But Javonte does suck, too. I think McLaughlin will have that job. I do. And Troy Franklin's going to take that job from Mims. Mims, I'm not just being an asshole. Mims is a special teams player, and he's a good one. He's a good special teams player. He's just not a good receiver. He's just not.
Big changes in Denver. But one last thing I got to say. If Audric Estime takes Javonte's job.
He'll never hear the end of it.
Would you get an Audric Estime jersey?
Yes, I will.
Oh, good Lord.
There you go.
I'll have to get it Notre Dame, though, because I won't buy another jersey.
Maybe you get a signed Audric Estime jersey from Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'll get Notre Dame. I can't put on other team's colors other than the black and gold, but I'll get a Notre Dame Estime jersey. Yeah, I will.
Get them to autograph
it. Autograph it.
That'd be great. All right. Well, this is going to do it for this episode of Fantasy Feud, guys. We appreciate you tuning in as always. This was a great episode. I appreciate you guys coming on. We had a lot of fun as always. And, this is a great exercise doing these mock drafts.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the rookie drafts are coming up. We just want to let you guys know how we feel about certain players, maybe where we're valuing them, you know, so don't overdraft. That's the big thing. And if you like a certain guy, you don't always have to agree with us.
Right.
I mean, if you do like A.D. Mitchell, if you do like Xavier Legette,
yeah,
trade back.
Yeah.
You know, trade back. Just don't overdraft these guys. Trust me. That's the big thing here. I just want to see you guys get the most value out of your picks.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this was a great episode. Tune in. Follow us on DynastyDNA_ on Twitter.
Yeah.
Check us out on YouTube. The Dynasty DNA channel's rocking out over there. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Pod, Stitcher, Google, Amazon. We're on all the big ones. We appreciate the support. If you guys are enjoying the content, please follow and 5-star.
Yeah.
And
Underdog, got to check Underdog out.
Yeah, yeah. Go over to Underdog Fantasy. We didn't do the Underdog Trade of the Week this week because this was a little bit of a longer episode.
Right. Yeah.
But go over to Underdog Fantasy, use the promo code DNA, and as a first-time depositor, Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100.
Yep.
The Best Ball Mania is going on.
I love Best Ball Mania. Did it start?
It's coming. I know it's coming. It should be coming anytime now that the NFL draft's been done. So got to check out Best Ball Mania over at Underdog, guys. Underdog Fantasy is the greatest fantasy daily fantasy app out there.
Yep.
Go check them out. Again, follow us on Twitter at DynastyDNA_. We appreciate all you guys' support. We hope the draft went well for your teams. Hopefully you got the guys you wanted. The Dynasty DNA show will be coming up next. I don't know what we're doing. Andy's going to, you know, he's kind of keeping it secret. I mean, it's going to be a good show. I know that, but I'm anxious to see what it is. But we hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend. And we will see you guys on the next episode of Fantasy Feud.
See you guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fantasy Feud. Make sure to check out all the great shows on the Dynasty DNA podcasting network. And become a part of the DNA Strand crew in our Discord. And make sure to check out the website DynastyDNA.net for all important fantasy football information. And follow us on Twitter at DynastyDNA_.